This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. When it comes to economic growth and finding an economic partner, it sure seems that Michigan and China are discovering a lot to like about each other. Just look at the numbers. Last year, Michigan exported $3.2 billion worth of goods and services to China. That's just behind Canada and Mexico. And Michigan is one of the top 10 states for direct investment from China. We were on the receiving end of more than $917 million in capital from China, and that's just in 2012. We wanted to take a closer look at just what China and Michigan have to offer each other. Joining me is Tom Watkins, the former state school superintendent and former state mental health director and frequent traveler to China. He joins us in the studio. And from the China Daily's U.S. edition, we welcome reporter Michael Barris, who joins us from New York City. Michael, your recent piece in the China Daily spells out, right in dollars and cents, the strong economic ties that Michigan has with China. In your view, what has led to this increasingly strong connection?
Well, there's a couple of things. First of all, there's an abundance of engineers with the Detroit experience that people in the Chinese automotive industry value very highly. There's one company I interviewed when I was there recently, Changan Motors. He's hired about 20 engineers in the last few years because they have the Detroit U.S. automotive industry experience. And in addition to that, I think it's safe to say that people in the Chinese automotive industry are fascinated by Detroit's extensive automotive history. At the same time, they want to be able to compete in the global market. And the way to learn how to do that is by going through Detroit, basically, or at least the environs where the automotive operations are located. And as maybe you're aware, they are active in many ways, ranging from producing parts directly for big U.S. companies or just doing R&D to boost their operations back home.
And Tom, you've been a champion of growing the connection with China for a long, long time in this state. So as you see this start to take root, you're not surprised at all, are you?
No, not at all. I mean, China is the fastest growing large economy in the world. 1/5 of all the human beings on the planet are from China. Michigan has a lot that the Chinese people want and need. Over 400 million people have risen up out of abject poverty over the last 30 years in China. So we have a Chinese middle class that is interested in buying foreign automobiles, but it's bigger than just the auto market here.
Yeah, because we really wanted to look at what beyond the auto market in Michigan is appealing.
Well, I mean, we have, again, everything that the Chinese want to need, whether it's clean air, fresh water, 20% of the water's fresh water in the world, surrounds our great state, golf, gambling, tourism. The University of Michigan has had a tie to the People's Republic of China going back to the middle of 1860 or so when Dr. Angel began, the president of the university began that. We have the Chinese Center here, the Confucius Institute. So we have the Chinese business community that here, as Michael's pointed out, there's over 15,000 Mandarin-speaking engineers in the metropolitan Detroit area. It's also having a new governor. The prior governor of the state, as I like to say, played Peking duck, not taking advantage of this fast-growing world economy.
And, of course, you're talking about Governor Granholm. She never went to China.
Never went to China. And Governor Snyder came in and through the Michigan Economic Development Corporation and put together a solid, sensible China plan. And that is to look at ways to export our goods and services, not just to China, but around the world, whether that's Whirlpool. Amway in the western part of our state is an over an $8 billion industry in the People's Republic of China. So whether it's our soybeans, our strawberries, our cherries, our raspberries, there's a lot that the Chinese want and need, and we ought to do that. And so one, it's exporting to China, and two, it's looking for foreign direct investment back into the state. Asia Society out of New York has pointed out that the Chinese are going to invest over $2 trillion around the globe over the next decade. Michigan, southeastern Michigan, wants to be an economic magnet for that investment.
And from what you see, Michael Barris, as you look at the nation for the China Daily, what is Governor Snyder doing right? Tom started that direction. What do you see him doing right? Certainly, when you see that Michigan is just behind Canada and Mexico in exports to China, something is working well.
Well, he certainly believes that China can be a source of employment, first of all, for people who have been hard hit by Michigan's recent deep recession. From what I understand, also, he's had a lot of experience in financial areas, and he is a former venture capitalist investor himself. So in that sense, they're doing a lot right. For example, they're also using things like tax incentives, and they are matching well. They have a great understanding of China's five-year plan. For example, you know, as a company that has experienced very rapid growth, China are trying to find ways to deal with environmental challenges and food safety challenges, things like this. So one person I interviewed there with the Detroit Chinese Business Association said it seemed that Michigan matches really, really well with China's 12th five-year plan, which is emphasizing finding solutions to some of these growth challenges that Tom, I think, is also referring to.
Well, if I can interject here, is that one, I want to thank Michael and the China Daily is recognizing what we are doing here in this state to match up. We have to really keep in focus that China's rise doesn't need to come at Michigan's demise.
And I think that's important for people to understand.
Yes, it is, because it's easy to put on a bumper sticker during a political campaign, ship jobs to China. That's a little more difficult to explain global economic bilateral relationships. But the new report has just come out through a website that I write for. It's called ChinaUSFocus.com. And a report that shows that over the next decade, this bilateral relationship between China and the United States is going to grow jobs, not just in China, but grow jobs around the globe and here, particularly in the United States of America. And that's absolutely important, that we don't scare people with that somehow or another that it's shipping jobs to China. When we see, and ultimately there will be a China auto company that will come and set up shop here, that's going to create jobs not only in manufacturing sector, but those dollars circulate through the community up to 8 times. Hmm. It'll hire barbers, accountants, lawyers, people to do the marketing for that. So as we're seeing the Chinese auto suppliers come here, that is growing jobs in Michigan, not only directly through the auto parts, but also those spinoff jobs at the cleaner, the barbershop, and the like.
I'm interested in the thoughts of both of you as far as what we're seeing on Michigan college campuses, particularly Michigan State University, that's really made a concerted effort to bring in Chinese students. So what does having this commingling of students mean for the years to come as these students graduate and move? Are they going to go back to China? Do you think they'll stay here? What do you see, Michael?
Well, as a matter of fact, that's a question that is big in China right now. They are, to some degree, they have difficulty bringing students who are educated in the United States back to China for various reasons. And I think it's hard to say, but one thing that is true is that as there's a greater recognition now that China is emerging as a world economic powerhouse, it's expected to overtake the United States as the world's largest economy by 2020, some experts believe. There is an emphasis now to get students learning Mandarin now in the American school system. And I think this tells you that people are starting to realize that it's a new era is at hand here. And I think this is one thing that you're seeing with a greater recognition at least in the education system, and the beginnings of it, of China emerging as a major economic powerhouse.
As Michael's pointed out, China is expected to eclipse the United States sometime in the next decade or so as the world's largest economy. But a fact that a lot of people don't understand is that China has had the world's largest economy 18 out of the last 20 centuries. So it's really regaining its place in the world. Chinese language is absolutely critical, and the Chinese students that are coming here, as you've pointed out, Anthony, that Michigan State University is anticipating that 12% of its incoming freshman class this year will come from the People's Republic of China. But that's taking place not only at Michigan State and University of Michigan, Oakland, Wayne State Universities, but all our universities. But as Michael's pointed out, it's trickling down, too. We are seeing, and it's something that I pushed as state superintendent, is to have these relationships not just at the university level, but starting in the high school and, in fact, even pushing it down further. Here at the University of Michigan, the Confucius Institute, and there's four in the state, and this is to transfer the history, the culture, and the language around the world. There's about 300 around the world today. Four in Michigan, one at the University of Michigan, which focuses on culture and arts, the Wayne State University, Western Michigan, and Michigan State all have Confucius Institutes. And this bodes well so that we can learn about each other.
I'm speaking with Tom Watkins. He is the former state school superintendent, also former state mental health director, and a frequent traveler to China, very much an advocate of increasing ties between Michigan and China. And then also speaking to us from the China Daily's U.S. edition is reporter Michael Barris. And as we talk about all of this, I have to wonder, and I'll have you take this first, Michael, is there not some concern that too much of the United States, whether it's our debt, whether its industry is already owned by China? Is there a valid fear amongst Americans of the Chinese taking over?
Well, I don't think the word fear is really applicable.
Apprehension?
No, I think the way I would look at it is that people in business see a tremendous market, untapped market. And in fact, when I was talking with the people at the Detroit Chinese Business Association in Troy, they put it as a win-win type of a proposition, that there's an opportunity here to create, to boost Chinese business in the United States, and for, as we mentioned, for China to find solutions to problems and challenges that it is encountering as it expands. So, To be honest, I have really not, among people who are in business, I would not call it a fear factor at all. I would say it's more a growing realization that this is where the market is. Now, going the other way, in real estate, major developers are investing in the United States now and in other foreign places because of certain limitations on development, say, in residential areas in China. So as a result, in fact, just last week, you had a Chinese developer investing $1 billion in a Los Angeles property, mainly because there's a lot of migrants coming to the United States, and there's a sense that this is a trend that's continuing. So they are going where they see the market. It's kind of working both ways. And I think it's not, to be honest with you, I can't really agree with you that it's a fear thing. I think it's just more a sense that this is the world that's changing. We are in a very interesting place. We have a front row seat on watching history change. Look, the way people react to change is all kind of depends on what your objectives are, you know, and that's how I would answer that question, Cindy.
Yeah, we're always going to have economic fear that's out there, but when we open our markets, when we open our eyes, when we open our opportunity around the world, America and Michigan can compete and will compete wherever we can.
But let me ask you this, Tom. What are the concerns that that will be expressed, have been expressed, about China's human rights track record and free speech issues? So what does it mean to Michigan to be business allies with a country that many say violates human rights?
Well, we should be aware of those issues, and that's something that that is very important to us as Americans, as our values and our morals. I believe that Congress and the president should address those issues as they are, and that at the local level, whether you're a county executive, a county commission, an economic developer, a state of Michigan, you should be looking at ways to develop a win-win, as Michael's talked about, a win-win relationship when we can develop this. Look, I was standing in Tiananmen Square in 1989 with the students. And I'll never forget the one young man asking me to describe democracy to describe freedom. And yet when we engage with the Chinese, they want and need just the same things that we want as people in this great country of ours. And so when we open up, I think that we open up our hearts and minds to the people of China. That's a good thing. But we should have the president and Congress, whether it's human rights or currency manipulation or theft of intellectual property, those issues are best left at that forum at the national level.
Michael, as you work and you do your reporting for the China Daily, what do you find are the biggest misconceptions about China and the Chinese people that people here in the States have?
That's a very interesting question. I do agree with Tom. I think there is a lack of understanding. And I've been in the media a long time myself. I've worked all my work has been with American and Canadian media. And I think one of the problems, sometimes it's just more convenient to sell one type of a story than another. You know, it's a lot of journalists do not go to great trouble to really expose the nuances of topics. And I think China is perhaps an example of that. Because let's face it, people want to write news that will reach the greatest number of people, and sometimes it's packaged in a way that makes for the easiest sale.
People understand the United States is not a monolith. There's not a United States. There's multiple. And as I've traveled throughout China, you see some of the most modern places in the world in Shanghai and Beijing and Shenzhen and Chengdu. People, you know, have never even heard of some of these cities. But they're fast growing. It's some of the – you can go from the most modern to feeling like you've gone back in history. And what it's very important, and I commend public radio for doing it, is to begin to shed the light on where we differ, where we're similar, where there's opportunities, and where there's challenges on these two most important bilateral relationship in the world today, and that's the Chinese and the United States. And when we think about it, there's not an issue. It's not going to happen on this planet. It's not going to intersect at the corner of Washington, D.C. and Beijing going forward. It's that critical of a relationship. And while we worry about China's rise, the only thing that we should worry about perhaps more would be if China stumbles and falls. That'll pull everyone down around the globe.
And that was Tom Watkins, who's the former state school superintendent, former state mental health director, and a great advocate of increasing our business ties to China. We've also been speaking with reporter Michael Barris, who joined us from New York. He is a reporter with the China Daily's U.S. edition. Thank you so much to both of you for speaking with us today on Stateside.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.